Blog Talk Radio.
Not all water is created equal. There are over 326 million trillion gallons of water on Earth. But only 0.001% is filtered naturally beneath the Earth, with a distinct balance of minerals, and emerges crisp and refreshing enough to be called Deer Park. Deer Park 100% natural spring water. Born better.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is a product of L.A. Beverly Enterprises versus, via the Beverly Nation. My name is Lewis, and this is Peripheral Vision. And hello, Beverly Nation. Oh, well, my name is Lewis Devon, and this is Peripheral Vision. Let me say it that way. Beverly Nation, it's great to be with you again tonight. I love you. I miss you. This is our first show for February 2014, and what a show we have for you this evening. First thing I'd like to do is shout out my buddy, Lonnie Aloysius Beverly, the producer of Beverly Nation, the entrepreneur that I admire so much, and the Beverly Nation family, friends, the connection that we have out there in the nation with all of our family and friends. I'd like to shout out all the Beverly Nation hosts. I try, you know, not to do it. I'm always advised not to try and name names, but you know, I just got an affinity for the Pattersons, Peter and Precious Patterson. I love the way they do what they do. I love the brain power that they bring. I love my sister Darlene Lawrence, my sister Lovely Ellis, our universal angel, sister Aaliyah Love. Okay, now this is the part where, you know, the advice I probably should have took, because, you know, I know we have Brother Samia Myers, and I know we have the young sister of Fab and Fit who has just joined us, and she has a great program. And you know what? I just want to, again, shout out the Beverly Nation. And we've been having a great time in 2014 so far. We gave honor and respect to our civil rights leader, in Martin Luther King, in January, and then we started a salute to the one-year anniversary of the Beverly Nation in February on last week, and it was just great. We're just having a great time. So tonight's topic, we're going to get into that, but let's start with a word of prayer, and then we're going to break into this thing and open it up a little bit and have fun tonight. We're just going to have a great time tonight. We are broadcasting out of Roslyn, PA, and our telephone number for those who want to call in and press 1 to talk is 347-202-0392. Again, that number is 347-202-0392. Okay, Beverly Nation, here we go. Let's have a word of prayer, then we can open up our topic tonight. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Beverly Nation, we're just going to open up on our topic tonight. I'm Republican, and tonight's topic is the conservative Republican platform. And my subtopic is fair and well, not welfare. Okay, so listen, I'm going to start this topic off. I want to bring to light a scripture, and then we're going to go and we're going to go back a little bit. We're going to go into deeper into this conversation. This scripture is located in the book of Amos. Okay, The book of Amos is just one of the last scriptures in the Old Testament. It's just before Micah. In fact, it's just before Micah. But in the third chapter of the book of Amos, we're going to go to the third verse. And I know we have some Beverly Nation hosts and other family members who can appreciate scripture. That's why, you know, I just love to break open with scripture. Kind of let you know as a person where I'm coming from and, you know, kind of give you an idea of, you know, what my walk is like nowadays, you know. So I try to go with scripture. So let's go with some scripture here. It says Amos 3:3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, my name is Louis DeVaughn, Louis H. DeVaughn. I live in historical Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the birthplace of America. And several years ago, I made what some consider a bold decision to switch my party affiliation to the Republican Party. I just want to take a moment to explain why I became a Republican and why it is the right move to make at this time in my life, not only for me, but for all brothers and sisters of the black community. You see, in recent history, the Democratic Party has created this illusion that their agenda and their policies are what's best for black people. You know, somehow it's been forgotten that the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an abolitionist movement. Let me just say that again. The Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an abolitionist movement with one simple creed, that slavery is a violation of human rights. You know, it's a violation of the rights of man. Frederick Douglass called the Republican Party the freedom, or the party of freedom and progress. And the first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln, the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. It was the Republicans in Congress who authored the 14th, 13th, and 15th Amendment. Let me just say that again. It was the Republicans in Congress who authored the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. You know, Americans, black people, look it up. Look it up. It gave former slaves citizenship, voting rights, and due process of law. The Democrats, on the other hand, were the party of Jim Crow. It was Democrats who defended the rights of slave owners. It was the Republican president, Dwight Eisenhower, who championed the Civil Rights Act of 1957. But it was the Democrats in the Senate who filibustered the deal. See, at the heart of liberalism is the idea that only a great and powerful and big government can be the benefactor of social justice for all Americans. But the left is only concerned with one thing, control. And they disguise this control as charity, you know, programs such as welfare and food stamps. You know, these programs aren't designed to lift Americans or to lift African Americans out of poverty. They have always been intended as a mechanism for politicians to control the black community. The idea that blacks or anyone needs the government to get ahead in life is despicable. I'm going to say that again. The idea that blacks or anyone needs the government to get ahead in life is despicable. And even more than this idea, it's a failure. Not only is it despicable, it's a failure. Now let's look at our communities. Our communities are just as poor as they always have been. Our schools continue to fail children. Our prisons are filled with young black men who should be at home being fathers. Our self-initiative and our self-reliance have been sacrificed in exchange for the alliance to our overseers who control us by making us dependent on them. I'm going to say that again. Our self-initiative and our self-reliance have been sacrificed in exchange for allegiance to our overseers who control us by making us dependent on them. you know, the word freedom is tossed around so often, you know, it has become like a cliche. The idea of freedom is complex and all-encompassing. It is the idea that our government must be free of persuasion, or that our economy, excuse me, it is the idea that our economy must be free of government persuasion. It is freedom. It is the idea that the press must operate without government intrusion. That's freedom. Freedom is the idea that private or personal information should be free of government seizure. Freedom. Freedom is the idea that parents must be the decision makers for their children's education. You know, not some school deciding on teachers or some school deciding to teach our children some complex sexual issues in public schools, etc. But most importantly, it is the idea that the individual must be free to pursue his or her own happiness, free from government dependence and free from government control. Because to be truly free is to be reliant on no one other than the author of our destiny, you know, who is God. He's the author of our destiny. You know, these are the ideas at the core of the Republican Party. And that is why I am a Republican today. You know, so my brothers and sisters of the Beverly Nation and America at large, please join me in abandoning this government plantation and the party of disappointment. And let's all echo the words of one Republican leader who famously said, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last." That was Dr. King. So, you know, the way I see it, you guys, it's a new day. You know, we're getting ready to make history. Now, I've been talking to a lot of young men in the inner city around Philadelphia and different places. We've been meeting at the coffee shops. We've been meeting on the playgrounds, the recreation centers. I teach CPR, so I've been conducting CPR classes with some of the guys in different neighborhoods. And a lot of this work is complimentary because I basically want to give them an opportunity to register for school for other healthcare careers that they want to get involved in. Plus, I want to get an opportunity to speak with them about their political affiliation. And what I believe is a great vision for African-American men in particular, and what I believe is the right vision for America, period. You know, there is so much attached. Now, I gave you a scripture earlier, and I said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, let's talk about two walking together, and let's talk about agreement, you know, because, you know, they say, you know, you shouldn't mix faith and politics. Well, faith and politics go hand in hand. Faith and politics go hand in hand. Your faith should drive your politics. Your faith should dictate what your politics is. Now, here's another topic along the lines of why I am Republican today. Well, because I don't agree. I don't agree that children should be – I don't agree with abortion. I don't agree with abortion. Okay. There is a legislation, and there are provisions in the new Government Health Care Act that will provide funds for abortions, and it will provide funds for contraception. You know, to me, okay, let's talk about how can I agree with that? I mean, that is in a way, the way I see it, that is in a way, it promotes promiscuity in our communities. I mean, what need is there for a man and a woman who is married, which is the definition, or which is the purpose for couples to get together and to procreate anyway? I mean, let's really get down to it. If your government is encouraging you to be promiscuous, how can I, as a man of God, as a man of faith, agree with that? Well, what do you mean that they're encouraging us to be promiscuous? Well, you know, if you have, you know, okay, there is no need for a husband and wife you know, to have an abortion. Tradition, I mean, what need is there for a husband and wife to have an abortion? There is plenty of need for people who are, you know, promiscuous, you know, to have abortions. I can imagine why folks who, you know, practice a promiscuous lifestyle or, you know, fornication. Come on, I'm talking spiritual now because this is now the way I link my faith to my vote. And as a spiritual, and looking at this as if, according to my faith, you know, abortion is so much attached to that. You know, in the book of Hosea, and please forgive me for not having the direct address, the nation of Israel was going under persecution. God was going to punish and bring judgment according to the children of Israel for abortion, and it's considered bringing the children under the fire. You know, they're called the children to walk through the fire. They're called their children to be sacrificed. They're called their children to be killed, to be murdered. So since 1973, Roe v. Wade has been a decision from the Supreme Court that Democrats enforce, and it's a part of the agenda of the liberal platform to promote abortion. I mean, you know, you say they don't promote abortion. Well, listen. If you're pro-choice, that's what you're voting on. That's what you're voting on. If you're pro-life like me, and like in a conservative Republican platform, it's conservative. We vote pro-life. Look, give the child a chance to live. It is not our right to kill babies. It is not pleasing in the eyesight of God for us to kill babies. It's just as simple as that. Now, we can get all, you know, technical with it, and, you know, you can get all intellectual about it, and what are the reasons, or what about in this case, and what about in that case, and what about in this case, and what about in that case? You know, what about, you know, the government's or this party's idea of telling a woman what to do with her body? I'm not telling anybody what to do with their body. The idea is I won't support a party that has legislation that supports killing babies. Abortion is baby killing. If you do some research and look up late-term abortions, you know, this guy Gosnell, who was located right here in Philadelphia, it was a house of horrors, and we support that. Us, faithful people, you know, faithful people, the church Democrats, which is reckless. I'm sorry. I just think for us to be people of God and for us to support the Democratic and liberal platform is just absolutely reckless. So, you know, I mentioned the young men that I speak to, and again, I just kind of run a report on that. We more and more guys every day, you know, and it's a new day. We're getting ready to make history in this country, you know, that will change the electoral politics in this nation. You know, there is time for change, and the cry for change, and there's the cry for change. You know, people are not getting the service they require. You know, the old rules no longer apply. You know, this is no longer, you know, your mama and daddy's Republican Party. You know, this is a new day. This is an awakening in our community. And, it's, you know, it's not just me. It's many African-American Republicans. I mean, do you have a problem with Colin Powell? If you do, let me know. You know, Alan West, you know, Jay-Z, Nas. And listen, remember, you know, I'm a Republican, and I did vote for Barack Obama. We're talking platform right now. And in spite of my platform and what I disagree with as far as the Democratic platform is concerned, I still voted for Barack Obama because there, to me, is still a sense of being sensitive to the time. I felt that it was time for Barack Obama. I felt that he was a better candidate than John McCain. I felt that American foreign policy was suffering and that this man was the answer and solution to our foreign policy issues. And he's come in and he's been a champion for foreign policy. Basically, he's been a champion for foreign policy. Okay, he's been cleaning up a lot of the mess that America has been making in the last 100 years around the world. I believe Barack Obama personally is a man of God. I believe Barack Obama and Michelle Obama personally are people of God. And I think they are of good conscience, and I think that they are regular American people. I voted for them for many different reasons. You know, they didn't come from the entitlement class, when I say entitlement, folks who, or the supremacy class. They didn't come from a supremacy class. They didn't feel like it was their right to get in the White House and, you know, push forth, you know, a supremacist agenda for America. You know, they were just, you know, just paying up some of their bills from college. But the point I'm making is, you know, I know how, as a voter, I know how to separate the candidate from the platform. I do. I know how to separate the candidate and check out the candidate. And this is one of the things that I believe more African Americans are doing. This is what I'm happy about. This is what I'm talking about in terms of a new day and an awakening. So you know, in terms of people, if you want to look up legislation that Republicans have has pushed and got through the Senate, look at what the Republicans did on the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. Look at what the first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, was able to accomplish. And he was the president of he made the Emancipation Proclamation. He wrote that. I don't know how, you know, some people think that, you know, we as African Americans, we began voting Democrat when, you know, when Kennedy basically made some phone calls, Robert Kennedy made some phone calls and got Dr. King removed from jail. Yeah, but the fact is that he was jailed in a state that was a Democratic, you know, that had a Democratic governor. Look, I just want to kind of, let's cut through the deception of what the Democrats and Republicans do. Let's cut through some of the deception of politics in general. I'm not a politician. I'm a regular guy. I'm not a politician, but I'm a free thinker. And I'm proud of America. I'm proud to be American. I'm grateful to be a man. I'm grateful to be a man living in this time, in this country, in this point in time in history. I'm grateful for that. There are some things that, you know, that is commendable. That some Democrats have helped to promote, but I tell you what, it's just not enough. In contrast to the Republican accomplishments for the African Americans, and we're not seeing that. And you know, we're too immersed in bigotry. We're too immersed in our rhetoric to really kind of look at things line by line and precept by precept. Who has done more for the African Americans? You know, President Dwight Eisenhower was a Republican. He championed the legislation in 1957 for the Civil Rights Act. That is significant. Jim Crow was the party of the Democrats. We can't get, you know, why are we trying to ignore that? When I became Republican, I just started having conversations with my friends and my peers. And more and more as I continue to have these conversations, it just doesn't really make sense. And then, you know, when we look at our community, a large, you know, demographic of support comes from the African American community, especially in our churches, for the Democratic Party. Well, Democrats are the party of separation of church and state. Democrats are the party of removing the Bibles from the schools, removing prayers from schools. You know, they voted, I think, in 2006 to put God back in the platform. To put God back in the Republican, the Democratic National Convention. They had to vote to get him back in. It's a secular party. It has a secular platform. It's the platform of atheism. It's still mind-boggling. It's still baffling. How do we support these people? When we looked at the last 50 years of progress in our community, some of the things that I talked about, look at our unemployment rate at 15%. You know, we're looking at most of our young men are in prison. We've been voting Democrat for the last 50 years. We have to hold them accountable for what we see in our schools. We have to hold them accountable for what we're seeing in our communities, because they are our leaders. That's why I talked about in weeks past, and I talk about to our young men, look, it is no longer acceptable for us, it is no longer intelligent for us to vote with them just because it's election day. It is more intelligent for us to take our ballot, stand in the middle of the road, and say, we are undecided. I'm not telling people to think like I think as far as Republican. I've got some research. I got some years in terms of researching Republicans and examining the Democrats, examining the Republicans closely. I have years in doing that closely. So I'm not asking folks who I have, you know, people who are relatively uninformed on how politics work, or, you know, they don't know much about the Republican Party. They don't know that much about Democrats except that their family votes Democrat. And I'm not asking these guys to know what I know, but I'm just saying be intelligent with the ballot. Take your vote and stand in the middle of the road and say, look, we're undecided. So if you want our vote, what will you do? What can you do? It is no longer acceptable. And for us, I talk to so many circles of people. There's a men's prayer line that I like to join in the morning. You know, prayer in the morning is just refreshing. Okay, there's a men's prayer line. And, before I make that point, I just want to invite the Beverly Nation to join our conversation tonight. Our number is 347-202-0392. We are broadcasting out of Roslyn, PA, and our number is, again, 347-202-0392. And I just, wow, dear God, you know, you guys, we have a great number on Beverly Nation tonight. We have over 12,000 listeners, 12,345 listeners that are, you know, engaged with us tonight. That are paying attention, and I really appreciate that you would listen and take the time out of your busy schedule on a Tuesday night to sit down with us here at the Beverly Nation and just, you know, take part of this conversation. It's a family conversation. It's really not, you know, a debate. This is why I'm Republican. I'm Republican for freedom. I'm Republican because we need to see change in our community. I'm Republican because I'm fed up with the deception. And I think we have done ourselves a disservice by giving up so much for what we consider is free. You know, nothing is really free. What is free? You're going to pay one way or the other, you know. So what I do is I encourage young men to retool themselves with education, young men and women too, retool themselves with education. And that was one of the things on the platform that the Bush administration came in and supported, education. I remember I worked at this subprime lender called Connie Mortgage back in the late 90s, and I was a loan processor. Okay, so it was kind of my job at that point to help people put together loan packages for people who really were not qualified. Okay, so after the subprime, Connie Mortgage went down, you know, just like a lot of other companies like Enron and Lehman Brothers, Connie Mortgage went down. They were the second largest subprime lender in the United States. Basically, they overwrote themselves on loans, wrote too much bad paper, and people couldn't pay those loans back, and folks got in trouble because people were basically getting loans that they could not support, they couldn't support, you know, and they were allowed to, you know, take out loans, you know, and basically write in information that was not researched or that was not true. You can tell us anything in terms of how much you make. You can tell us anything in terms of how much you have saved in the bank, and you can get a loan, an astronomical loan with a crazy interest rate. So I was kind of like right in the middle of that subprime lending thing. Then in 1999, the company closed, and I went to another company, and that company closed, and then I had to kind of go to figure out what it was I was going to do with the rest of my life. I got all this, financial experience, but at the same time, I kind of wanted to get away from that Elias Circle and that corporate America feeling, you know, the cubicles with the suits, you know, and the little elitist groups, the little management groups, and the people that's trying to catch up to management and trying to suck up. I just kind of needed to get away from all of that. I was not encouraged to be a friend to people, so my communication skills were not used for what I considered was a righteous way. My skills were used to, try to intimidate people to, you know, pay their loan or try to intimidate people to, just do things they didn't want to do. And I was encouraged and trained to do that. So that whole market crumbled. And what Bush came in 2000 and did was he helped with the Secretary Rod Page, who was the first black education secretary. We're going to talk about that in a second. They together came with government assistance in terms of education, re-educate. So I went to school for EMT in 2003, and I became an EMT. And then in 08, I went to school for to become a CPR instructor. And the idea was to re-educate yourself. That was a Republican platform. That was a Republican initiative to re-educate yourself. Because the old model of the economy, the big business economy, was crumbling. And so now, because I took that education advice, and went to school, and remember, when I went to school, my education only cost a fraction of what it costs today. The same education, the same EMT paramedic education that I went through back in 2003 only cost a fraction of what they are charging right now with the larger schools that are charging right now. So, you know, I don't know what it is about Democratic administrations, but when we see Democratic administrations, we see higher taxes, we see larger government, we see prices go up, we see the price of the, we see the value of the dollar go down. I mean, that's just what happens. And y'all know I love Barack Obama. Okay, so, anyway, I just, you know, just want to make sure, Lonnie, is the connection good tonight?
You sound wonderful. I'm not trying to come on this program at all, but okay. You sound wonderful. But since you brought me on, I'm going to do BevNet business if you don't mind.
Okay.
And it's only going to take me 30 seconds to announce that we do have a new BevNet record. We have 13,008, and I hope it climbs throughout the program because we have a little less than 30 minutes left. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm the producer of producers. Your mama know me. Lonnie Aloysius Zeppelin. did I go there? Yeah, I did. I'm a mess. But you know what, though? Before we go there, Brother Lou, I want to bring on Minister Audrey Dennis on this program. And Minister Dennis, how are you tonight? Hello. You're talking to Lou DeVos.
I'm fine. I am fabulous. How are you? How are you, Brother
well,
Lou?
I'm doing great tonight. I feel great. It's great to hear your voice. And how you doing tonight? How's it going? What is your opinion on tonight's topic?
I do have some questions. I have been listening to the history of Republicans, and it was very interesting, but it doesn't matter to me today because they don't act the same. They're totally different. If you could tell me how do you see them giving us equal opportunity and stop showing favoritism to the rich? You know, we have a history of Republicans supporting poverty. They show selfishness. Now I'm trying to be gentle about my feelings because I do love you, my brother. I do. But our country has went into debt because of war, and it seems that Republicans love war. And during this war, they slaughter men, women, and children. You know, we've seen a lot of manipulation, a lot of lying going on, a lot of, in my opinion, robbing and stealing when you're taking someone else's oil. And then I think they holler about abortion as if we support it when even criminals agree that abortions are wrong. But they want to throw up a moral smokescreen because they think that they have the right to judge a particular sin when all the time they are sinning. the whole entire time they're sinning. How can I point my finger at you, brother, if I'm standing in the same boat with you, maybe standing in the same pile of crap with you, but I'm going to point my finger at you? That's craziness. And that's the,
okay.
what they've shown us. See, I'm sorry. I'm not claiming that us Democrats are perfect and without sin. No. But two brothers with sin can't say nothing. They both got to stand there and be quiet.
Okay,
nobody got a right to judge.
I agree with a lot
I'm sorry. One more thing about the abortion.
Okay. The thing about abortion to me is not the fact that I kind of take my eyes off of people when we look at the fact of the Republican platform supports life. The Republican platform supports life. The Democratic platform supports choice. So it's a clear choice you have right there to say you're going to support a child's right to living, or you're going to support a state's right to terminate the life of a child. And that right there is a very serious moral question, especially for people of God, because when we look at a history, the nation of Israel was judged, came under judgment because of the same activity in the book of Hosea. I mean, I'm just talking about the faith and the abortion issue alone. And now, it doesn't really make us moral to say, it's not a question of my morality. It's a question of, with my vote, who do I support? Which idea do I support? Do I support a child's right to live with my vote, or do I support the state's right to terminate the life of a child? And as a Christian, I cannot, with any conscience, vote with the state's right to terminate a life. I have to vote with the right for a child to live.
Okay, I understand that, and I agree with you.
Do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with abortion, period. But I don't agree with a person who does everything they want to, live any kind of life, and even have abortions, to tell me that my God's right doesn't matter because my sin is greater than their sins. That's
right.
Not the truth. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
If they weren't guilty of the same sins, then maybe perhaps they could say something. But they're guilty of the exact same sins. It's a smoke screen.
Right,
you're gonna tell me you don't do one thing.
Right. But this is where I'm getting to. See, I'm trying to keep our focus on the platforms and what we believe in our hearts and faith. I'm trying to keep the focus on the platforms, because even when we talk about the move to go into Iraq from the Bush administration, there was strong support from Hillary Clinton who supported that move. So that was Democratic support. Biden supported that. John Kerry supported that. So it was a lot of support. I kind of want to take it away from what people do and kind of take the eyes off and say, with our conviction as people of God, do we support a child's right to live? And I think that should not be overlooked or taken lightly, and I think we have to really examine that, because the Republican Party has a platform that supports that child's right to live. And the Republican liberal platform, the Democratic liberal platform says that the state has a right to terminate the life of that child. And as a Christian, where do you go with your ballot? Where do you put your – and then another question that you have to ask yourself as a Christian, because a lot of Democratic support comes from the African-American community in our churches. What does the separation of church and state mean to us as voters? Do we believe that God should not be involved in decisions and in lawmaking? Or do we want to take God away? The idea that taking Bibles and prayers out of school was Democratic ideas and legislation. Do we support that as people of God? And if so, why do we support that? And say, see, because I go back to that scripture in Amos 3:3. It says, how can two walk unless they agree? So how can we agree with that? And How can you walk with Democrats unless you agree that it's okay to kill children? And that argument should not be. We really overlook that. And these children that are in these clinics, look at the Skousnol Clinic. Do some research on late term abortions. And you are a woman, so I know you know more about these abortions than I do. I know you know.
Yes.
That. It's a house of horrors. It's a house of horrors.
And I agree totally, Lewis. But the thing is, it's wrong to kill children at war,
too. The right of these children to live. We have to stand for the right of these children to live. We have a vote and we have a voice and a say-so in getting those laws changed and overturned. Roe versus Wade, we can overturn that. And we can promote families in our country. We can promote right relationships between men and women in our country, not what's convenient for men and women in our country. We can promote what God promotes. Adam and Eve was the idea of marriage between a man and woman, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. There was not an abortion clinic in the Garden of Eden. And we as people, especially people of God, we have to really look at that and say, Lord, listen, I'm going to support you. Whose side are you going to be on? And you know, that's how I feel about the faith part of my decision to become Republican.
I don't want to cut across here. Audrey, we do have some other people who want to get on, and I don't want to slight you, so that's why I'm coming on to tell you. Please make your last comment, or if it's a question, and so we can go on to the next caller. Thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to say this. When it comes to morals, we can't just stop at just one particular sin or look at just the homosexuals. We got to be aware of the fact that we do the same thing in other countries. Our wars have not been legit. Killing children over there is wrong, too. And so I just want to we just got to come together. We're going to stand together. We got to stand together on everything and stop handpicking what we want to handpick.
Thank you so much, Sister Audrey Dennison. Sister Audrey Dennison is one of our, she's one of our one of our beloved hosts, and she has the Soulful Inclinations with Audrey Dennison. You can catch her once a month here on the Beverly Nation, and she is very insightful, and she is a woman of God. So don't get me confused in what I'm saying. She is a woman of God, and she's very knowledgeable in Scripture, and she is a friend to the Beverly Nation. And if you get a chance to know her out there, Beverly Nation, you get a chance to know her, you will discover a great person to have and a great person to have in your corner. She is fiercely loyal to whoever she considers a friend, and I love Audrey Dennison. Let that be known. So we're going to continue.
Yes, we're going to continue, and we have the Pattersons, so we have to keep on moving. This is a radio show. We got to keep on moving. So we do have the Pattersons. Pattersons, you have 4 minutes to proclaim your question or comment, and I will cut you at the 3-minute mark.
Hey, you guys, good to have you tonight.
How you doing? Congrats on the break of the number, man. Good job.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I'm listening to what you're saying, and I know you're a Republican, but, you know, you're beating up on the Democrats. It's a little too much. Because when it came to the Bible, I've been taking the prayer and stuff out of school. When they were going for that, a very powerful Democrat by the name of Jimmy Carter was pushing to keep it in. It wasn't all the Democrats were saying, take it out, take it out. And a lot of the Republicans are pro-choice. Not pro-life, pro-choice. There was no death, murder, there was none of that before sin happened in the Garden of Eden. So, I mean, I'm listening to what you're saying, I understand this stuff, but when you start doing like you're saying, changing the law to this and that, and for these unchurched children, you're pushing your beliefs on other people. And that's not what the freedom of belief, speech, religion, and everything that we have in place is for.
Can I just say one thing, and I want to go into, and it's
thank
not
you,
about
Peter.
Lewis. No, Peter's going to stay on the line when I say that. Peter, we talked about transgender bathrooms, correct, on your program, correct?
Oh,
that I allowed you to do, right?
Yeah.
All right, who voted for those transgender bathrooms? That's where it comes, that's where the rubber hits the road.
Okay.
The Republicans lost in that situation by 42 votes. The We're from California, and I said I wasn't going to get on this program, but I hear what you're saying, and I'm not defending Lou. This is Lou. Lou, I'm not trying to defend you. I'm talking Lonnie Beverly to Peter Patterson and the projection of Republicans. Man, that should have never. That bill should have never been passed. We have to rediscover, no matter where, like Sister Dennis said, no matter if we're Republican or Democrat, we got to reconsider what the hell are we doing? What the hell are we doing? Who is voting for this foolishness? Really? I mean, y'all drinking goat heads? Let me know, because I want to know, you know, who is voting for transgender bathrooms in the state of California? Good point. But any last things you want to say to Brother Lou tonight before we go to the next caller? Pete, that wasn't against you, but I'm just trying to tell you that something is wrong. I don't care if it's an alley cat versus a pit bull. Whoever voted for it needs to go to hell. And that's my word. Say some more to Brother Lou. And I love you, Pete. Thank you.
Well, I agree with you because that's what we said on the show, remember? Don't matter what you are, you know, wrong is wrong, and that was just stupid. But, you know, but back to Lou, you know, I don't think, like we said before, once you talked about, you know, Democrats, Republicans and stuff, I don't think that it depends on the party. I think it depends on the person. But you got crazies on both on every house, and you got some sensible people. But right now, it's just the crazies are outnumbering the sensibles. And with people, you know, pushing money in their pockets, hey, you know, you get $100,000 or $1 million kickback from something, yeah, you'll vote for them because you want that money. And greed is just, it's killing politics. That's what politics is about. It's just all about the money. It's not about what's right for the people. It's about what's money. And you look at when it comes voting time, everything that people start complaining about, that's when all the politicians are for it. Whatever party's the highest, whatever people are saying the most of, either yay or nay, that's when they go for it. Afterwards, they don't care. They'll go with whoever puts the most money in their pocket. And that's the damn thing. Oops, sorry.
No. You're right. And, Peter, you're right. And the greatest thing about Beverly Nation, Lou, and I got to come with it again, because, you know, we have an obligation to be able to show every side of the spectrum. Every side of the spectrum. What Sister Dennis said was important, very important. I'm glad she's on the air to hear me say this. She asked questions. She wanted to know, hey, her point as a minister, she's saying, Lou, that everyone, no, you know, see who is out sin cast the first stone. I understand what Minister Dennis is saying. She's of the ecclesiastical part of our business. Okay, she's a minister. I understand what Brother Patterson, who will give you his opinion any night of the week, even when he sleeps. Okay? He'll let you know why he's snoring. You wrong. How you doing? So that's what Pete does. Okay? And then we love Peter Patterson. So, Lou, this topic tonight has brought up, you know, fire from everyone, including Darlene Lawrence, who expressed her opinion last night. How about that, Lou DeVon?
This is the tip of the iceberg, and I kind of wanted to respond to something Sister Darlene said last night, and she wanted to make a challenge to say,
Hold on. Before you do that, thank the pastors for coming on this program.
Absolutely. Thank you, Peter and Precious. I'm not sure if Precious had something to say, but I appreciate Peter's comment. Absolutely. And Peter, it's not that I really am trying to press my opinion on other people. It's just I'm telling you why this is where I'm going, and this is why I'm here. And I think that is the difference. And folks are going to do, you know, what they want to do. I'm sophisticated enough to realize that by now, that folks just kind of, you know, going to do, you know, their own thing, and people come to their own conclusion based on their own experience, just like me. So I just kind of wanted to just kind of give kind of go back to a part when I said that the Republican Congress, the Republicans were the Republicans in Congress, they authored the 13th, 14th, and 15th amendments, and that is in direct support of the civil rights of African Americans. And I know that there was a challenge out there last night to say, show Sister Lawrence where the where there was you know, Democratic or I mean Republican legislation that supported civil rights, and also the Abraham Lincoln also authored the Emancipation Proclamation. And that was in support of civil rights for African Americans and for slaves. So that is that, you know, Jim Crow. You got to remember, Jim Crow was a
he was supported by the Democratic Party. Even though Dwight Eisenhower, he championed the Civil Rights Act of 1957, it was John F. Kennedy as a senator in Boston who filibustered. He was in the Senate. He helped filibuster. He voted against the Civil Rights Act of 1957. All I'm doing tonight is let's bring light into some of the ideas and to some of the deception, the darkness that suggests that the Democrats are basically, you know, in support of our people and have been in support of our people since day one, when that's not really the case. And,
Lou, I'm gonna cut you off because Minister Dennis wanted to come back on for a second to tell you something.
Okay.
I didn't want to interrupt him, but I did want to tell you that I love you. And I wanted to use the Beverly Nation as an example. Regardless of our beliefs and our opinions and how we feel, because I get very emotional, we still love each other. And I wanted to ask, why come the Republicans is not able to do that with President Obama right now, since they are the bigger man?
I'll give you one example. But let me respond to that. I'll give you one example where Republicans were able to embrace Barack Obama. So, I'm sorry, say that again, Lonnie.
No, I'm telling Orgy Patrick, and we got to keep him because I might. Before you do that, and keep that in your mind, and that Orgy, boy, she's still starting mess. I'm going to get her later on. Still starting. I love it. I love this. Beverly Nation has advertised through L.A. Beverly Enterprises. You reach out at thebeverlynation.vpweb.com. You know the great man is with you at LBeverly_blogtalkradio. You can check out my movie right now. I just put on Facebook, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Lonnie A. Beverly, right there on Facebook, Beverly Nation, as well as the BevNet. Where else do you get Twitter work? Right there at LBeverly17. And any comment or suggestion, when I rise my head tomorrow, if I feel like reading it, I will... LBeverly17@gmail.com. You know I read every one of my hate or love mails, and I say the same thing. The BevNet, thank you for your support. Go ahead and answer that question, Lou, and then I'm going to bring on Sister Darlene Lawrence.
Thank you. Well, to answer that question, that was a great question and a great comment from Sister Audrey Dennis about Barack Obama not really receiving the support from Republicans, but we have to realize that General Colin Powell, who was the former Secretary of State of the Bush administration, he endorsed Barack Obama in 2012 for re-election, not election, re-election. So he, as a Republican, one of the biggest and one of the strongest conservative Republicans in America, he supported, with all of his support, he got behind Barack Obama, and he gave reasons why. He wasn't doing it just because it may have been popular. He did that in the face of facing down his own party, who had actually a good chance of winning in 2012. But he did support Barack Obama. So just like I supported Barack Obama, just like Lonnie Beverly supported Barack Obama, as Republicans, not necessarily black Republicans, but as Republicans. So there are examples of where people can, you know, be objective about what they feel politically is the right thing to do and do what political right thing to do is. So, you know, all that I have to say about the Democratic platform in terms of what I don't believe in, I still voted for Barack, I still voted for Michelle, in spite of my beliefs on abortion, and in spite of my beliefs on big government taxation and other things. So I did go against
you know what, I'm going to tell you something too, Lou, and before I bring Darlene on too, you know, Ricky Jones just chatted me and said that even, you know, to say to Audrey Dennis, let's go to, you know, where the rubber hits the road, the president didn't get support from his own party. So it goes right back to what Audrey says, like, you know, when you lie down, she didn't say this, but I'm going to say it in her little West Virginia way. When you lie down with dogs, you going to get up with fleas. You know what I mean? For real. That's what it's all about. You know, who's on, like you said, Lou, who's on the Lord's side? Tonight, I have to correct Brother Lou Devon tonight. Tonight, I live in Geneva, Switzerland, okay? I'm not Democrat or Republican. I'm producer, okay? Tomorrow, you might catch me on another rant, and I'll get you tomorrow. But tonight, I have to be fair to my other host, Darlene Lawrence. I have no opinion. But I had to get on the air, and I wanted to be blunt with everybody in the world. I want to thank, first of all, Lou, you just went to, let me tell you something. You just got a lot of people from Detroit, Michigan tonight, 700 people in Detroit, 1,817 from Chicago, 1,700 from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the home of TalkShoe.com, which I'll be on Friday. In California, thank you so much. We had 1,385 people in the area of Los Angeles, and the list goes on and on. I don't have time, but I love each and every one of you. But the greatest thing about it is I got to go there, okay? Here's the situation. Listen to what I'm about to say to you, and it's going to blow your mind.
Go ahead, Lon.
Somewhere in California, there were some psychopaths. Now, you do the math and find out who voted for it. Okay? This is the editorial time, maybe of 60 seconds. Someone voted for transgender bathrooms in the elementary school. How does little Jenny at 5 know she a boy or girl now? And why should my taxpayer money pay for that?
I didn't know it was elementary school.
Talk to the pastors. Tell you they have two real good transcripts on it. So let the record show. Find out who voted for that and get back to Lonnie Aloysius, and that's how it is. On that note, we're going to bring on Darlene Lawrence, Sister of Righteous Consciousness. My sister, thank you for being so patient tonight. I will, in your talk tonight, if it gets to the one-minute mark, I don't care who's talking, I will interrupt. But let the people know we have to go into archive. Go ahead and take care of your business.
Okay, my brother. First of all, I want to say, you know I love you too, and I want to tell you that, number one. Okay, and I just want to tell you that I respect you. I think you have presented an excellent delivery of the support of your party. And I don't
Thank
care if you.
You
was from the polka dot party. I'm going to love you anyway. And that's what everybody got to know about the Beverly Nation. Because
I hope people know how important that is to me. I hope everybody realizes how important that, what you just said, is to me. Absolutely.
And that's how it is. We are a family. And we are about God's work. And we may have differences in opinions, but it is about love. It is about wanting to see progression. I commend you on the record breaker of your 13-plus, whatever the numbers were. That is awesome. That is evidence that God is in the mix of what we are doing. So,
praise
you
God.
Know, I just want to tell you, you know, you said some things to me that always touched my heart. You got my back, and I want you to always know I got yours, too, because you are my brother, my brother.
We only at the 3-minute mark. You keep on talking all you want to talk. No. But you know what? I'm gonna keep you on the line. And I just wanted to say, you know, I want all the Beverly Nation hosts to come on at this time. But before I bring them all back on again, I want to bring on Bane and Lovely Ellis. Y'all mind? You gonna bring on the Universal Angel at this time?
She's the most consistent, and it wouldn't even be right if she wasn't here tonight.
Absolutely not. Hey, lovely.
Good evening, Lewis. Good evening, Beverly Nation family. How y'all doing tonight?
All is well.
It's safe. All right. I can't stay long because I'm doing some stuff around the house, but I just wanted to let y'all know. Do y'all want to know what I believe?
What's that?
You want to know what I believe?
Yeah.
She was cute. Okay, there you go. Go ahead, lovely. Yeah.
All right. I believe I can fly.
That's messed up.
Come on, girl. Come on now.
No, that's messed up. That's some 2 Chainz on some clone vegetables.
I believe I can fly.
And you can because you're the universal angel.
She must be Republican. I do believe I can fly. We all fly on the Beverly Nation. So I just want to say congratulations to you, Lewis. All of us, we're doing it. We're making the Beverly Nation fly. So that's why I wanted to say I believe I can fly. We all fly together. So I'm just going to keep it cute and simple and positive and just go on that. How you like them apples?
That's right.
Well, you know what, though? You stay on the line because I'm going to go into business. Folks, I want to thank the 1,300 and 13,110 people that join us tonight on this wonderful Bevy Nation night. It seems like every night we are just record-breaking. Sometimes it almost feels like it was just like your heart beating, like the blood roaring through your veins. But you know what, though? Remember, and I will say this twice, to all of our internet connections tonight, I want to thank you all for choosing Beverly Nation, for choosing Blog Talk Radio, the dream of Alan Levy. God bless him, and God bless Lonnie Aloysius Beverly, because you know what? I always need blessings. I'm just that good. I'm Lonnie Aloysius Beverly saying good night and good luck. And to all of our internet followers, follow us tomorrow morning with Kenneth Lozada. Get your dose of Sportsology, 12 noon. That's right, right here on the Beverly Nation. I want to say abdu and have a great night and pyong.
You know what? Amazingly, we've been around for 10 years. Louis H. Devon Jr. is one of our greatest hosts of all time. And what more can we say about the classics? They're here for all of the listening public as well as our wonderful hosts to see where we have come from, to see how far we have come and gone. It is amazing to be a part of something that's so outstanding. I'm so proud of us today. Look at the roster of hosts now. All the Hall of Famers and nominees that come out of this outstanding network, right? And it's amazing for us to be here tonight to be able to present to you a Hall of Famer that came on this network in 2018. The wonderful, and outstanding, and I named her the Jersey Jewel, Miss Jerry Petito. How are you tonight, Jerry?
I'm okay, Brother O. How are you?
Hey, man, you heard the classics.
You know, I just want to let everyone know my voice is not the greatest right now, but I'm going to do my best. So that show was off the charts on so many levels. I mean, first of all, for me, I got to hear Darlene. I got to hear the Pattersons. I haven't heard them in a while. I love them. You know that. But this young man touched my heart on so many levels. You know, God, I mean, he prayed before his show. That was so beautiful. And I want to thank you for bringing this show on tonight because I needed to hear it as well. He brought hope to me. He brought hope back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say something to everyone listening. You know, I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't care if you're Republican. I just care that you're a good person because that's what we need. We need everybody to come together in unity. And just listening to him just touched me in a way I can't even explain. Brother O, that show was magnificent, and I want to thank you for it. And you know, it was awesome listening to you coming in and out and doing your thing and being silly. And I was cracking up, and I'm like, wow, things sure have changed. And his, you know, 13,000 listeners, and this is crazy where we've come. But you know what was beautiful? They talked about how Beverly Nation was family, and we've got to get that back because we are family.
The key is support. I remember back in those days, Jerry, and bring up some other calls. I'm keep you on with the outstanding forum of the old Beverly Nation. So you're gonna stay on the line, but we were fighting to be heard, Jersey Jewel. We were a fledgling company, and we didn't care about numbers. We had a lot of people that care about numbers. We didn't care about that then. We wanted to be heard around the world. And Louis H. Devon is one of the greatest champions of our network in the charter era. You heard Minister Audrey Dennis, an outstanding person, that, you know, presented her opinion. That's what it meant during those days. Peter and Precious Patterson, you know, charter members, outstanding people. And you will hear more of their shows. Jerry, we talked about, you know, that online, offline. But,
right.
You know, you're going to hear more of their shows. We have to make sure during our classics that the people who are here now understand the legend of Beverly Nation. Before I bring on the next caller, talk about the legend of Beverly Nation. WBNN, yeah, that came on, you know, last year. You know, we got our call letters officially, but we are Beverly Nation. Talk about that. Talk what Beverly Nation means to you.
Okay, so Beverly Nation means so much to me because when I came on, we were Beverly Nation, and we will always be Beverly Nation to me. And, you know, we supported each other. We called in a lot. You know, we had differences of opinions, but we never argued about them. You know, we cared about each other. Beverly Nation was the greatest network ever. It still is, WBNN, but to me, Beverly Nation owns a piece of my heart. And I want to thank you for bringing me aboard, you know, on board. And again, everyone out there who's listening, please understand that we are a family. We need to support each other, please. Okay, let's get back to what we were with Beverly Nation.
We're going to bring on another caller tonight, and I believe it's an outstanding caller. That person right now has a lot of feedback, so I'll bring him back on later. But this person here, Jerry Petito, is a legend in his own time. A lifetime achiever to the International Radio Hall of Fame and an enshrinee. The one and only Magic Man Haru, Kuni Bakatun.
Hey, this is Clubber Lane, the only man to ever get two out the frame. What's going on?
So you saw this master, man. I'm gonna say like I did in 2014, you know, to this man who came on in 2017. You starting your master tonight, Mr. Honey Bakatun?
Oh my God. Hey, you know, I had to do that for Jerry, man. You know, love you, Jerry. What's going on?
Yeah, I love you too,
it's
baby.
On the real, let me start off by saying, you know, for those who built the foundation, who laid the foundation for us to be here in this day and time now, I mean, the genius, to me, I feel like he's a genius, brilliant. Louis Devine was absolutely brilliant in delivery and thought and transference of thought and everybody who came on, you know, but it was love, though. They didn't always have to agree, but what was agreed upon, it was done in love. You get what I'm saying? And the only thing that I you know, I hate, you know, especially with the people who I was sent to over 37, 38 years ago, is I don't like the fact that there's so much division amongst us, and politics has been used as another tool to further divide us. And that has always been our, but if you look at those of us as original people on this planet, not just Africa, anywhere on this planet, the melanated planet, right, that everything we ever did, we did it in unison. But I look at the state people are today, we're so divided in so many different ways, it's ridiculous. But one thing I give thanks to all in all for when it comes to WBNN, and as beautiful as we are, as individuals, as brilliant as we are, we've come together at WBNN, and we become an adopted family, which is something that I really, really enjoy. You know, I've been here almost 6 years and did a lot of different advancements coming into my sixth year as of May. And the things in which that I'm able to do, and this is going to go into your question that you asked, what do it mean to me personally? It became a prophecy fulfilled, something that I was told about in 1991. A lot of people know part of my story, as I shared on June 13th, 1985, you know, as I like to call it, my born-again year. But 1991 was also a very significant year in which my personal book of life was opened. And the fulfillment of you, Hall of Fame four-time, making that call to me, that was the beginning to where I'm at now is nothing less than a real living miracle in this day and time. And I can say people who might have thought I was crazy then, but those people who sit back and look at how many things was accomplished from that time up until now, it's definitely a prophecy fulfilled. So I definitely give thanks to WBNN. And can't not give thanks to my spiritual mother and your physical mother for me being here, because if it wasn't for her intervention, you wouldn't have made that call. And by you being a faithful son, look and behold to where I am at now, you know. So I definitely give thanks. I definitely give thanks, man.
Well, first of all, look at the greatness of our network. I have two lifetime achievers to the Hall of Fame on the same line. What more can we say about that? You know, I'm so proud of what we do today. Jerry, what can you say about that?
Well, excuse me with my voice. I love Hooney. And even though I did kick his butt twice, you know what I'm saying, that Clever Lang thing he likes to mess around with. But
you going
to
do that? You going to start your mess tonight, Jerry? That's what you going to do? That's how you going to come on here? You know what?
But Hooney, I love you, man. And you know, what you're saying is so right. You know, we have to come together. We have to come together or we're doomed. And that's the bottom line.
Well, you know, a lot of things I always say, too, that is very, very important to everybody, is that we don't have a family affair when it comes down to what we do on a constant basis. You know, it's a problem in the overall gift that we have as broadcasters, you know, Jerry and Tony Bakaton. What we do at WBNN is progression. It's a dynamic, progressive, spectacular way of living when it comes down to being journalists. Louis DeVaughn is one of those people, you know, that came here in 2013 in our wonderful charter era, right? Not just the golden era that, of course, Hooney Bakaton is part of, you know, and you are a part of, right? But the charter era that we're trying to build, right, Jerry? Right, Hooney?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Those times
That's
is the reason why you guys are here, period. You know, and there's a time that we didn't care about numbers. Of course, we were appreciative of the units, but we were looking for the next show. Our host did shows every week. And Jerry and Hooney, you understand about that, and doing shows every other week. And now we're comfortable, our hosts are comfortable to do shows every month because of the progression of the great Beverly Nation. I'm going to keep you guys on, and we're going to bring on another caller. I hope that some other calls will, you know, press one and talk about their experience, how they feel about WBNN. But caller number three.
Hello.
Right now, celebrating the honorable Louis H. DeVaughn Jr., the original Beverly Nation classic, Peripheral Vision.
Oh, hello, everybody. This is Tiana Speaks. Hello, Hooney. Hello, Jerry. Hello, Brother O. It's always a pleasure to hear things from the past before I was a part of the network. You know, to be able to see the progression of everything, well, how the shows were done. And even hear Brother O's voice, you can hear the difference in the time. I don't know what it is, like with the other, I can hear the difference, you know, which is like you get to go into the past and just like, you know, sit there, you know, and like it's almost like some, like there was an event and you're able to sit there at the table and watch everything. But this is just like, you know, listening. And I think every classic is fantastic. You get to learn about people who are no longer here, you know, and their personalities and what they believe in. Like you get to know exactly who they are. So like when they're, you know, speak about them, it's like you know who they are even though you've never met them before. Even the ones who are no longer living and breathing, you're still able. And I'm going to say I'll always be thankful because, you know, it took me, you know, out of, how can I put it? I want to say a shell, but it took me to push myself forward, to be able to speak and talk to millions of people, going from just not wanting to be in front of people and talk, to be able to talk to millions of people because a brother O pushed me to do so. You know, I always said no to a lot of different radio opportunities, but for some reason, it feels like home, you know, and not only did I come on the radio and have a show, I gained a family. Like, it still feels like a family, you know, even though a lot of the people I've never met yet, it still feels like I know them. Like, that's my family, you know. And even though I know I've known you, Jerry, but Huni, you are absolutely wonderful. Now it's like I've seen you. You're so wonderful, and you were so hospitable just coming to our side of town and just showing so much love. I will never, ever, ever forget that. You know, it's just amazing time. And I'm so glad that a lot of us got to meet each other. Absolutely amazing. I'm really absolutely amazing.
Well, you know, Tiana, I'm going to ask you a question. You're always asking questions. You know, what's the difference between my voice then and my voice now?
Uh-oh. So in some of the classics, you could hear like the little because you were Aloysius then. That's why.
I'm still Aloysius, but
I know.
I'll say this. During that time, I had to be present a lot with my hosts because we're building something, and now having some, you know, great roster of hosts, I learned to be humble enough to digress and let you and the rest of the great, you know, Beverly Nation WBNN be you. At that time, we were in the fight for our lives. People did not believe in us. They didn't believe that we would even be, they didn't think that we deserved to be there. So a lot of times as producer, I make sure that everyone knew that we deserved to be there. And now, I allow you guys to let the world know, the tens of millions to know that we deserve to be there. The fight that I had in 2013 is so prominent now in 2023, more than 10 years.
Wow.
And having that night, 13,000 people. And I'm proud of those units more than I'm proud of the 22 million we have now. How about that?
Well, I agree, but I was more of the age-wise, you know, you played a classic. Like, I appreciate, you know, you saying that as well. Going from 13,000 to 22 million says a whole lot. It says a whole lot. And it says a lot about the people that you chose to be on the network, you know, like Gary, like Huni, and the other people who, you know, are lifetime, you know, have a lot of accolades. So, you know, and those people are family now. So I'm glad that I knew some of them, but the ones that I do know now is absolutely amazing. Yeah. Absolutely.
We love you,
hey,
girl.
It takes one. It takes one to know one.
Yep.
Thank you, Huni. Thank you, Huni. I will always remember your visit. I will always remember, honestly. Always. Like, it's just, you're just a wonderful human being.
Thank you. Like I say, and it takes one to know one or to acknowledge another one. No, don't be surprised. Ain't no telling where the traveling newer man will show up now. So I might be showed up in New Jerusalem my next stop. New Jerusalem my next stop. Anyway, love you now.
Well, you know, the great thing about, you know, what we've done in a constant basis, and I already said what I said, is that we have a outstanding roster of hosts, and that was 2014, Tiana. Look at the hosts that we have now since you've been here, you know, for your episodes since December, right? And you look at, you know, all the things that we do on a constant basis, you being prominent and being a person of, you know, legend yourself for David and All Time Connection Records, seeing, you know, progressive people who have stayed and people who have left. You know, the greatest thing about us It's the people who stay true to the mic. And you remember everything. So let me let you know something that you remember. If you disrespect the mic, it's going to show. Period. And you have not disrespected the mic. And that's the greatest thing we have on our network. So I want to thank every single one of the three people who came on tonight to talk about, you know, how they felt about Beverly Nation. And now I'm going to talk about, and we still have, a call to answer. Anyone else that want to come on here and press one, please do, before I get mine go-see time. Louis H. Devon Jr. loved Darlene Lawrence. And Darlene loved Lou. It was a great testament to what we do on a constant basis at WBNN. I love the fact that not only people loved how I was back in the day, but there's time to digress for the host to progress. And if you were there in 2013 and 14, you can understand that. We are a conglomerate of great individuals here at this network. And I love the fact that we are strong enough to beat any single international internet radio network battle day to day on a constant basis. We'll take a call now. This call, there's a little bit of feedback in the background, but I'll do it again. A little feedback in the background, try to eliminate that, but we'll try to bring you back on. Carla, you're live right now with the original BevNet Classic. Caller? Okay, that caller left. I hope that caller calls back in. But, of course, one more can I say tonight, and already been said, Louis H. Devon Jr. is a champion, a person of integrity and a person of greatness, a person that Darlene Lawrence loved so, so much. And next month on our classic, we'll be bringing on Darlene with her response to Louis H. Devon. How about that? The original BevNet Classic in April. And we're thankful tonight for Louis H. Devon Jr. Tomorrow night, we have a live broadcast. And that live broadcast will be the 2022 International Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee, Ms. Christine Powell. Jesus. And before I do that, let's bring on this caller. Caller, you're live right now with the original BevNet Classic.
Can you hear me?
Live and clear.
Hello? Okay.
Live and clear.
I don't know what be going on with these phones, but anyway, I just wanted to chime in tonight. I'm always
Who are
ready
you?
To
who
listen,
are you?
But
who are you?
I'm one of the hosts. My name Angela.
Okay.
I'll be on next week. I'm usually on behind Jerry, in between Hooney and Jerry. But yeah, I host Walking Purpose with Angela. Nothing special about me, but just
no, you're not gonna do that.
To be a part
we talked about that last night with Chan God Power Hill. He doesn't trust that. You know, it is a lot that's special with you, Miss Angela Thomas Smith, a person of greatness and championship performances. And April 7th is coming very, very, very soon. And you already know what that means, but I'm not going to go there. Talk about tonight's show and the archive with Louis Devon.
Well, I was just listening and to hear the comments of those that was coming on and sharing. You know, it's nothing like family. and feeling that love and that support. I often sit in the background a lot, and sometimes I don't press the one, but I'm always on here. And I just remember when I first came on and how things have changed from when I first came on to now. It's just different. And I miss that family vibe that we had in the beginning.
But what made it? How do you feel? How do you feel it's been different, Angela Tom Smith, the Honorable Angela Tom Smith, our fourth reigning commissioner?
It's like before. It seemed like we supported each other more. Like we pressed the one. Like we were eager to press the one and come on and conversate. Even when it wasn't. Even after the show, you know, we would have these conversations where we would have like group chats and we would talk about the show and just laugh and carry on for a while. And, you know I granted everybody may be busy and life happens and all types of stuff, but, you know, I kind of miss that, you know, and it's something that I am, everybody know I started a network. And that's something that I'm enjoying with my host. You know, we're having that time. You know, we meet every single day, and whether we're having a show or not. It's like we conversate. It's like family. You know, and we have a chat going, and somebody is chatting and talking every day. And I miss that over here. But you know what? I can always tell them something about something that's going on our network because I love this network. I love the WBNN, and I'm always representing the WBNN. I know they probably sometimes be like, dang, she always talking about them. But I love my family, and I miss that. And I have to occur with what Tiana Speak said about Huni Bakatun. He is so welcoming and so genuine. I have had the opportunity to meet him. He actually came to one of my events that I spoke at in Charleston, South Carolina. And he came out and supported my event, and we had an opportunity to meet in person. You know, I love his genuineness, and I know that there are a lot of people on this network that it's the same way. But I just miss that, what I experienced when I first came on the network.
Well, a lot of times, you know, ego is the ego and championships and worrying about championships and, you know, worrying about being heard can be a fault to any network, not just WBNN, Angela. Egos destroy families. Hold on. Egos destroy family. And I've seen it happen in the, you know, the halcyon days of our network. And it is what it is. And we're proud of our hosts who are, you know, able to perform on the mic on their given night. As a commissioner, a former commissioner, you understand about that situation and how we try to build and to be able to be honest with our performances. And our performances are not just our shows. Our performances are when it comes down to our support of other hosts. And once we get that to the point that we get a chance to go back to the charter or golden era, this network will be greater than it is right now tonight. And during the time of Louis H. Devon and the late great Darlene Lawrence, Audrey Dennis, the Pattersons, who supported that night, and 13,000 listeners that night. Talk about that before I go into my ghosty time.
Well, I'm often saying this because my mom used to tell me this. the same people you pass on your way up, you'll pass them same people on your way down. So you have to, if you want, we want to say we have arrived and we want that statue, we want that. You got to understand that what you did to get there, you got to continue to do that to stay there. Because you think you have arrived does not mean that you have arrived. And know that you did not do it by yourself. No matter how talented you think you are or what you think you bring to the table, know that nothing that we do in this world we do alone. There's always someone there that's helping us along the way. We wouldn't have this opportunity if it was not for you. So we have to remember that we didn't just get here. No matter how much you think you have arrived, you got to do the work to stay where you are. And you have to support. You know, you want support. You want people to support you. You got to give what you want. And sometimes you got to give more than you receive. And that's all I got to say.
I think this young lady who is the CEO or you know, managing general partner of her crew, the crew podcast, you know, mentoring is very, very important. And this young lady has done it the right way. And I'm hoping to the creator of all worlds that this young lady will be an outstanding nominee for the International Radio Hall of Fame for the class of 2023. This year, I'm not, you know, in the voting process at all. So, and I'm glad because I need rest because I want to concentrate on WBNN and our greatness. To get to 23 million, that's the key. We already reached our goal, you know, for this year. And I'm proud of everything that we do on a constant basis. I want to give my commissioner a chance, if she's able, to talk about, you know, just WBNN and the greatness of us. The Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J, are you there? Before mine goes, he's time.
Yes, I am here. Hi, how are you, Brother O? Angela, how are you? And, WBNN. Hey, what can I say? We are Beverly Nation, everybody. And, you know, WBNN has wonderful hosts. And we are a family. And, you know, Angela was saying how, you know, people don't press one. But here's the thing with that. Now, you know, hosts are supporting each other now, which is a great thing. The beginning of this year, it changed, and hosts are now supporting each other. And that's great. Yeah, I guess sometimes everybody can't press one, maybe because they may be at work or, you know, what have you, in a place where it's not quiet, but they're listening, and that's good. So we want to just continue to encourage that for all of the WBNN hosts to continue to support each other. And, you know, 3 shows a week, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But, hey, we have some hosts that call in to every show, and that's wonderful. So for those of you that can call in to every show, please call in to every show, especially shows that you've never heard before. You definitely want to call in and check the shows out because every show is important here. Every host has a different style. Every host has something that they're passionate about, that they're talking about on their shows. So we don't want to miss out on what they have to bring to the table. As Angie said, everybody has something to bring to the table. And so we can bring our support to the table every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. Or should I start with Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? We have something to bring to the table by supporting each other and showing that love. And, you know, Brother, you said, you know, some people, they're thinking about championships, and all of that stuff. And, you know, it's not a time to think about championships because what we should be thinking about is bringing forth the best show possible, having our shows be great. Whether or not you get a championship, if your show was a great show, that should be all that matters. And championships will come. And championships may not come some weeks. But, hey, it's all a part of hosting. And it's not a time to feel like we're in competition with each other, because we're not. The only person that we should be in competition with is ourselves, to see how great we can make our next show. I'm the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J, everybody. And thank you so much, brother.
I thank you so much tonight, because it's so important to take, you know, keep the eyes on the prize. That's the most important thing that we do as a network. Look at, you know, people. Look at our great, you know, rookie class that we have. You know, starting with, you know, this year, Tiana Speaks and Sham Got Power Hill. They're amazing. You know what I mean? And you look at Wanda Walker, and you look at Jetty, you know, A-Track. They want to be here. You know what I mean? It's all about, you know, wanting to be a part of greatness. And you look at Louis H. Devon and all the people that you know, came before. That's important. Darlene Lawrence, may she rest in life and, you know, in transition. She said many different times in her life here at WBNN, Beverly Nation, what you do for the network will last. That's the only thing that matters. Being here and being available and being present is most important. And just, you know, getting out the way of ego. And I think a lot of times with the network, through, you know, the charter era, the golden era, you know, the transitional era, and at this time, we have to be better than those eras. This is the greatest time for us. How can we be great? Consistency, being available every single night, you know, supporting every single night, and just loving what you do. For what you do, I guarantee you, will last. We get back to our live programming tomorrow with the 2022 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting nominee, Ms. Christine Powell, and the Shiza Show, 9:30 Eastern Daylight, right here on the Story Network, WBNN. And Beverly Nation is advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're at Pinterest and Instagram and Twitter and Ngozi_time. All of that in the little Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions for our wonderful program tonight? olaydelay.ngozi@gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malay, and Ngozi saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio since 2014 that support us on a constant basis. I thank you all. I'm glad you got a chance to listen to one of the greatest ever done it, Louis H. Devon, Jr.